verse number 5. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Probably one that we could all quote, probably have quoted multiple times. I wonder if we could just read this together. I think we could all get on the same page this early in the afternoon. Amen. Let's read this together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many wants to trust in the Lord? Amen. Are you glad you have someone in whom you can trust? Amen. God bless you. I'll let you be seated. If you were here Wednesday night or had to listen in, you might recognize somewhat of a connection between that message and today's lesson. And the approach will obviously be much different, but we're going to talk about our trust in the Lord. Our trust in the Lord. If we have ever needed to trust him, we need to trust him in the day and hour in which we live, don't we? I remember testing the level of trust that my kids had for me when they were young, when I was actually able to do this. But I would put them up on something high, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Put them up somewhere like on the refrigerator or someplace they weren't supposed to be anyway. Later we got onto them for that, but you know, Daddy taught them. And jump. How many's ever done that? Jumped. No. Jump. And each child is different, and the fear in the eye told a whole lot that words couldn't say right then. I'm pretty sure Grant just jumped. I don't even think he thought about it. He just jumped. And that boy didn't have fear, I don't think. But I wanted to see if they would trust me. And I wanted them to know that if they trusted me, that I was going to catch them. I was going to make sure that they were safe. And I don't know if that worked or not, but we had fun doing it. I heard a story about a man who I don't even know who this man was, and I don't know where I even heard the story. It's been years ago, but that a man did that to his children, and then he just let them fall. And he told them when they get up, now you don't trust anybody. Well, I don't know. I want my kids to learn to trust me, because I figure if they could learn to trust their dad, that they're going to have a lot easier time to learn to trust God. I want to teach them how to trust. And Webster defines trust as assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, or the truth of someone or something. An assured reliance. When we trust God, we are placing ourselves in his hands, regardless of the outcome. If we are dictating the outcome, we're not trusting, are we? When we trust him, we've decided that life is better lived under the shadow of his wings. Life is better lived under, sheltered under the cleft of the rock. I want to trust God. There's a peace that comes when you trust the Lord. Words like confidence and security come to mind when we consider the meaning of the word trust. Also the biblical word hope comes into play. And we'll look at some of this a little bit later. But not a hope that, as we use the word sometimes, well, I hope so, which means we really don't think it's going to happen, but not a hope laced with doubt and unbelief, but the biblical hope is that earnest expectation, that assurance, the anticipation that cherishes the knowledge that in the end, in the end, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. We have hope, that greater hope the New Testament talks about. And so when we talk about trust, the word hope comes into play. So we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, with all thine heart, the writer of Proverbs said, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so that to really trust is to do it with all our heart. You cannot say, I trust, kind of. That doesn't work. I kind of trust, or I trust for the most part. No, that's not trust. And so trust is something that is done with all of your heart. To completely trust, we must learn to completely trust in the Lord. This demands that we no longer lean to our own carnal ways and our own carnal thinking. This requires us to submit our thoughts to Him, to submit our desires to Him, to submit our will to Him. We trust Him with these things. Here again, in verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. We are to acknowledge that He is trustworthy. Amen. We can trust Him because He is worthy of our trust. He has proven that He is trustworthy. And so I can trust Him completely because of this. His track record is blameless. And so I acknowledge Him. As verse 6 says, I acknowledge Him and His ability to direct my paths. I trust Him with this. I lean on Him to order my steps. I trust the Lord. Amen. This word trust used here in this verse is, interestingly enough, it's not used much at all outside of the Old Testament writings. It's not found in other literature very, very much at all. It is on occasion, but not very much. But used exclusively in the Hebrew scriptures, which really doesn't surprise me, because in what other context could you really use the word trust except talking about trust in God? To fully, completely trust. The one that we trust must be worthy of our trust. Amen. He must be trustworthy. And so who else besides God can we trust? And I suppose that's what this man was trying to teach his kids, but I don't know. I question his methods. We're going to learn that people are untrustworthy. We're going to learn that on our own. You're not going to live very long to realize that many people are just untrustworthy. But we know that God is worthy of our trust. And so, this. Bear with me as we kind of work through some of this, because I feel like it will help our understanding. But this original Hebrew word that has been translated as trust into the Old Testament writings has been translated into a few different English words, such as confidence, secure, hope, as we mentioned. In one place, or maybe two, I'm not remembering, the word bold is used. There's a boldness. But trust is by far the most frequent. Out of 117 times this old Hebrew word was translated, 103 times it is used for trust or trusting or trusted in reference to God. It is most often found being used in prayer, or as in the case of the Psalms and Isaiah and other places, perhaps being used in a song, praying it or singing it. It's also used quite a bit in Proverbs. One example is our text that we read. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Another example that you will recognize is Proverbs 16 and 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is he. So trust is a frame of mind. Trust is a decision. I will trust. We choose whether we trust or not, don't we? And our trust can be exhibited in all circumstances. In good times, we trust. But in bad times, we still trust. Amen? And that's the objective, is we trust Him. In the midst of the battle, we trust Him to be our deliverer. In sickness, we trust Him to keep us and to heal us, don't we? And so we trust regardless of the circumstance that we are in. Trust is not affected by emotion. And you might be thinking, well, but I'm talking about complete trust. That's where we want to obtain, is complete trust in God. It's not affected by our emotion. Complete trust is not affected by our feelings. If we are fearful, we are having trouble trusting. If we are fearful and afraid, we are having trouble. That's the cause of that fear, is a lack of trust. We'll deal with that in a little bit later in this lesson and try to make that come together a little bit. But Isaiah said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." If I choose to be afraid, it's because I'm not trusting. If I find myself fearful and biting my fingernails, it's because I haven't fully trusted the Lord with this situation. He said, "I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Psalm 56 and 11 said it, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid." You notice how these are coupled together. The converse of trusting Him is being afraid. "I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." When we trust, we are not easily shaken. Psalm 26 and 1 says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." Or that word's really, we would understand it better by being shaken. "I shall not slip away. I shall not be shaken out of my trust in the Lord." And so when we trust in God, we rely completely on Him. We do this, again, because He is reliable, because He is trustworthy. We seek His protection because we know that He is a protector. We seek His guidance because we know He has all wisdom and He understands all things. We go to Him because we know He's able. We submit ourselves to Him because we know that He has the oversight and He has the ability to direct our paths. And so we place ourselves in His hands. And doing so, we trust the outcome regardless of what it might be. That's complete trust in the Lord. Trust is not conditional. "God, I will trust you if you will do it thus and this." I trust you in this situation as long as it ends up how I want it to end up. That's not trust, is it? But we don't put conditions on our trust in with God. We say, God, I trust. Do with me what you will. Do with this situation what you will. I trust you. I trust you. You know, we can trust the Lord because we know that our best interest is at heart. We know he wants what's best for us, don't we? Life throws us a lot of curveballs. Life throws us a lot of trouble, a lot of trials, but God's looking beyond some of the things that we are dealing with, and he's looking down the road, and he's looking where we're going. And his main objective is that you and I might be saved. Did you realize that? Now, I believe the Lord has many good and perfect and wonderful gifts for us while we're here on the earth. I'm the recipient of his healing. I'm the recipient of salvation. I'm the recipient of just the good things of the Lord, the benefits of the Lord. But can I tell you that his ultimate aim and his ultimate goal is for your salvation? And if it takes... I'll just throw this out there to help you connect what I'm saying. If it takes an affliction unto death for you to be saved, maybe because your pride or your self-sufficiency, he will allow that if that's what it takes for your salvation. Can we trust him? Can we trust the Lord regardless of our feelings and our opinions? But can we say, Lord, I'm placing myself in your hands. Save me, Lord. Without conditions, without do it this way, Lord, do it that. No, I want the Lord to have his way. Amen. Amen. We all need to trust the Lord greater than we do now, don't we? And so we should not trust, or our trust for the Lord should not be contingent upon him performing for us. Job said, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When we talk of trust, we are really talking about faith, aren't we? We're really talking about faith. This word faith is used, and that's the title to what we're doing here today, in case somebody back there cares. It's trust and faith. Really, really creative, I know. Trust and faith. But the word faith is, I didn't realize this until today, but was only used twice in the Old Testament. Unless my Bible tool failed me. I only found two instances of the word faith being used in the Old Testament. And both of these are referring to the faithfulness or the lack of faithfulness of someone, not of God. And which is a little bit different use of the word faith. But so trust, the word trust in the Old Testament is equivalent to the concept of faith in the New Testament. And we see a shift of words from the old to the new here. But the concept is the same. In fact, they're really synonymous terms, trust and faith. The writer of Hebrews, I think, joins these concepts together very well in Hebrews chapter 11 when he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to look at some of these words, bring them back to our remembrance here. But faith, what is faith? A conviction of the truth of something. I have a conviction about God. I have a conviction of His trustworthiness. Right? I have a conviction about these things. It's a very strong conviction. Faith has the predominant idea of trust or confidence in God. When we have faith, we trust Him. When we have fear, we are not trusting. Right? And so, we have faith. Faith is the substance, the understructure. It's a firm foundation. This word substance is talking about confidence and a firm trust and assurance. Faith is the foundation for my trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope for some things. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for the day of salvation. I am not living this life solely for the pleasure that this life gives, but I want to be saved. Amen. I want to make it to heaven. I want to receive the promises that He has given us. And so faith is the substance. It's what I can get a hold of what things I hope for. And so we have faith when we have a firm trust and assurance in God, the object of our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, well, let's look at this next word first. Hoped for. And so we've talked about this a little bit, but it's interesting because this is really connected back to our Old Testament word trust. And the more I studied this out, the more complete that looked, because when you truly hope, you are anticipating with faith. You have an anticipation for it to happen. It's not something you have received yet. It's not something you have put your hands on, but faith is the substance. Faith makes it tangible. Is that making sense to anybody? It is that foundation of faith that enables you to hope for things that have not yet happened. And so it means to wait for salvation with joy and full of confidence. Amen. We're living this life just to live again. Amen. We're living this life with our eyes on Jesus, with our faith firmly planted in Him. Amen. Because He's faithful who has promised. And I have a promise of heaven. Evidence of the unseen or the unrealized, a proof that by which a thing is proved or tested. So not only is faith the foundation of our life in Christ, but faith is our evidence. Amen. We are convinced of the things God has promised. I can't explain well faith to an unbeliever. It's hard to explain, isn't it? It's hard to communicate how I feel to someone who has no faith. Until you have faith, you can't understand the security that comes with faith. Well, but you haven't seen it. No, but I have faith. And there's a security that comes. There is a peace that comes when I demonstrate my faith in God. The answer does not have to come before I feel that. Faith gives me that assurance. Now, if you promised me something and you gave it to me, then I could feel assured of your gift. I'd feel good about it. I'd want to thank you for it, right? But faith gives me that assurance before I ever taste of the gift. I'm thankful for faith today. And so it serves as proof of what is to come. No wonder a few verses later the author writes, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're not going to diligently seek him if you have no faith in him. If you don't believe that he's trustworthy and you don't believe that he has anything to offer, you will not diligently seek him. But those that diligently seek him are rewarded. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to take the time to look at every instance here in Hebrews 11, but I do want to look at a few that is listed. You can follow along in your Bible, or they can put it on the overhead if they'd like. But we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and skipping down to verse number 8, let's talk about Abraham for just a moment. God called Abraham to leave his home, to leave his family, to leave his friends, to leave his security, and to go to a place that he would give him and his seed for an inheritance. Now, Abraham had no children, and so this promise was definitely in the future. Abraham, the Bible lets us know, he obeyed, didn't he? Abraham obeyed. Faith results in obedience. True faith results in obedience. If you're having trouble obeying, you're having trouble with faith. You haven't yet trusted. But Abraham obeyed. He had no indication of where he was going. This would be a trial for us. Amen. This would be a trial for us. Just start walking, Abraham. But he went. He went. He trusted in God. We don't see that he questioned God. We don't see that he argued. We don't even see that he asked for signs and proofs. But his faith caused him to obey. He trusted in God to be his guide, to be his protector, to be his promise keeper. And God rewarded him for his diligent seeking after the Lord. All the while, the Bible said he looked for a city, and he waited to receive the promise. He hoped for it with earnest expectation. And I'm paraphrasing some of the scriptures, but you can read down through while I'm talking. But if they had wanted to go back to the land that they had come from, there would have been opportunity for them to turn back. But they looked for a city. Abraham kept his sights on a better place, the place designed by the Lord to be their inheritance. They desired a better country, the word said. A heavenly country. Amen. That's our ultimate goal and aim, isn't it? Amen. Verse 17, Abraham is asked to offer Isaac, his only son, and he asked to sacrifice this promised son. Whether he understood it or not, whether he understood why or not, I don't know. There's really not much given. There's a command and there's obedience. And that's what we see and that's what we learn from this. But how could he have put his only son on the altar? How could he have done this? Knowing that God was asking him to sacrifice this promised son. We find the answer in verse number 19. Instead of counting that God was able to raise him up. Somebody say, God is able. Even from the dead. You see, Abraham trusted God regardless of the outcome. Whatever he chooses to allow here with my son, the promise. See, the faith was in the same God that made the promise to his son and his seed. Abraham was putting faith in God. Yeah, I can believe him for a future promise. And I can believe him for a future blessing. But can I believe him with my son on the altar? Can I have that kind of trust? Regardless of the outcome. His trust, see, if his trust was in man, he'd have reason to doubt. But his trust was in a God who would be able to raise him up. If that's what God chose to do. And we know what all happened there. God had a better plan. But I'm glad Abraham trusted God and held on to the promise. Verse 22, we look at Joseph. And we could spend, we could spend lessons on each of these characters. But I think the looking at several of them at the same time will help us with this subject. But Joseph told them not to leave his bones in Egypt. He had faith that God would remove his people from that land. He said, look, I'm dying, but when you leave, when God gets you out of here, he said, I don't want my bones left in Egypt. That was trust in God and his future work. You think about Joseph's life, it's not indicated here in Hebrews 11, but how could you talk about Joseph and faith and trust and not look at the life of Joseph? How he trusted the Lord through harsh adversity. Through every kind of trial imaginable, he trusted God. And not only his life, but his attitude is a testimony to us all. I never read where Joseph complained. And he had reason to complain. I never read where he really ate out that prisoner that didn't remember him. I never read where he railed on his master that threw him into prison unjustly. You just don't read of that. And it's all kind of working together in my mind, because when you fully put your trust in the Lord, you recognize that he really does work all things together for the good of those that love him, for his people. We have the ability to put such trust in God that regardless of what happens around us, we can hold on to the fact that God's working. See, when we take our lives out of God's hands, then this doesn't work. This equation doesn't work. We have reason to fear when we're in control. We have reason to question when we're the one at the reins and at the helm. But when God is the source of our trust, when we have given our lives completely to him, as Joseph did, I'm telling you, we could walk through the story of his life. His brothers almost killing him and selling him and despising him, ridiculing him. You got to have some tough skin to go through what Joseph did. Or you've got to have a perfect trust in the Lord. No doubt Joseph held on to dreams that he didn't even fully understand. But he trusted the giver of the dream. God's going to do something in my life. But years went by. Years went by. And if he was looking for a sign, he got a sign, all right. If he was looking for a sign, he would have been in despair, wouldn't he have? Joseph trusted the Lord in every stage of his life, through every adversity, until it was time. And the purpose of God was at hand, and things were set in order, and it was time for Joseph's life to really find the fulfillment that he had desired it from when he was a young lad. And yet, it's trust that brought him to this place. And so, this trust that Joseph had in God affected his attitude. That's one thing I really want to emphasize here with Joseph, is that his exemplary attitude throughout all of this. And I believe it was only possible because he put his full trust and confidence in the Lord. Life happens to all of us, don't it? Life is not always fun. Life's not always fair, as they say. But I believe God uses our experiences and uses the things that we deal with as just being human and being a part of life. He uses betrayal to teach us how that hurts. Right? He uses these things for our learning and for our instruction and for our school to perfect us. Because remember, his ultimate goal is to get us to heaven. Now, there's things he wants us to do along the way. He wants us to help someone else. He wants us, you know, to be a part of the body and all of these things. But God is willing to use these obstacles. If you're thinking you're getting picked on, you might need to read Job and Joseph again. Life's not fun. But there is a peace that comes when you trust in God. I'm telling you, you can even look at Job and all his wanderings and his the mental games that he played, and he had to put up with his friends and all of their... He still did not charge God foolishly. He still trusted the Lord with his life. He didn't curse God and die, but he trusted the Lord. And there was a peace that came that brought him through. I'm not going to talk about this, but my mind just went to the martyrs that we can read about throughout Scripture, some, and even throughout history. How could they go to the end of a stoning or of a burning? You might think, oh, man, I hurt when somebody pinches me. How could I do that? God gives the grace to those that trust him. Things that are not humanly possible. Humans can endure a lot, but can they do it with such a sweet attitude? Can they do it with such a sweet spirit as Stephen did and forgive those that threw the stones? God helps those that trust him. Amen. What about Moses? Moses, first of all, his parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. So he had some good teachers. They were not afraid. They trusted the Lord with their son. Remember what the psalmist said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. We've got Pharaoh killing all the baby boys. Killing them all. And yet, we've got a mother saying, I'm putting my trust in God. I'm putting my trust in God. If Pharaoh had known what she had done, I don't know what the penalty would have been for her, but no doubt it would not have been good. But yet she trusted in the Lord. She was not afraid. I'm telling you, trust will take away the fear. I hope somebody hears that today. Trust will take away the fear. Moses walked in faith. defied Pharaoh, did not back down from his magicians, and led over a million people, Hebrews, out of Egypt, and trusted in God for manna, for water, for guidance. When everyone else, including those that he leaned on, Aaron and Miriam, when everyone else distrusted the Lord, Moses retained his trust in God. Moses had faith. When everybody else was afraid and demonstrated some really bad attitudes, Moses went to the Lord, his object of his trust. Moses had faith. Hebrews tells us he completely trusted in God's ability and God's willingness to deliver them out of every tight spot. And they went through some tight spots as a large group of people going through the desert. But God was, he proved himself able, didn't he, to deliver them out of every adversity. We could talk about David as he trusted in God to deliver the giant into his hands. Or has he trusted God's timing to put him on the throne? Wow. Knowing that you're to be king, but trusting in God for the time. Keeping his attitude right. Keeping his spirit right. Not getting bent out of shape with the authority in his life. Trusting in God. Trust takes a lot of different, has a lot of different views, doesn't it? He did not take matters into his own hands with King Saul, but he waited on God to avenge him of his adversary. 2 Samuel 22 and 1 is David talking about this situation. Verse number 1 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust." My, my, my. How could you do this, David? Because I know who the Lord is. Oh, hallelujah. He is my shield, and he and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. We pray to the Lord because we trust him. If I didn't trust the Lord, I wouldn't pray to him. Right? If I didn't trust the Lord, I wouldn't call on him, but I trust the Lord. And David cried to the Lord. What about Daniel? Daniel was a praying man. He knew the risks. He knew the risks. He knew what the decree was. That I don't know if he knew what his peers had done to entrap him or not. I don't know. But he knew what the decree was. Not to pray unto any god, but Daniel, knowing the risks, did not slack in his devotion to God. Regardless of the fact that his life was threatened, he put his life. See, if he would have connived ways to get around and bowed his knee, as it were, to that heathen god, that heathen king, and succumbed to their demands, he would not have been trusting God, would he have? But Daniel trusted the Lord, regardless of when his life was threatened. In conclusion, I want to read a portion I found it difficult really to decide which portion of Scripture to use here because there are so many, especially in the Psalms, that would have fit. But I want to read seven verses from Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, and thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I don't have the time, I don't want to take the time to read this whole chapter, but if something today is resonating with you, I would encourage you to go read all of chapter 91 and think about it, pray about it. Amen. God is a God we can trust. Oh, that we could learn to trust wholly in the Lord. It was Caleb and Joshua who trusted the Lord and said, yeah, I know there's giants. I know there's obstacles. I know there are things that we don't understand, but God gave us this place. They trusted in the Lord and they got to see the promise, didn't they? And when we say, I trust you, our actions must demonstrate our trust. When we put our lives in His hands, we must trust Him with the outcome. Amen. I hope this is making sense to somebody. I want to leave you with a few indicators. We've kind of dealt with these a little bit, but this is how I'll end here tonight or today. Some indicators that your trust is not fully in God. When you are fearful, you're having trust issues. Fear is the enemy of faith. Fear is when you have more faith that something bad is going to happen than you have faith that God will take care of you. When I'm fearful, Lord, help me to trust you. Amen. I want to trust the Lord more, don't you? Another one that I, and this will be the last one, but just these two resonated with me for today, but when we feel self-confident, when we feel self-assured, when we are quick to lean to our own understanding without relying on God's wisdom and His strength, when we're quick to make big life decisions without ever consulting the Lord, we kind of think we got it all figured out sometimes, don't we? But we're having trust issues. We're trusting ourselves more than we're trusting God. So when we feel self-confident, that is an indicator that we're not trusting the Lord. Our faith is not in Him. I want to trust God, don't you? I wonder if we could just lift up our hands. I feel the Lord here today talking to us. God, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my heart. God, I trust you. God, I trust you with my emotions. Come on, talk to the Lord right now. Maybe there's a situation that you're dealing with that you need to trust the Lord for. I'm giving you an opportunity to talk to the Lord right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, help us, God. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to put our full confidence in you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Do you appreciate what you've heard today? Thank you, Brother Short.